Teil A, wir verstehen Englisch 2023. Fachhochschulreife, Baden-Württemberg. Haupttermin.
Listening Comprehension Test. You will hear each recording twice. After each listening, you will have time to complete your answers. Task 1. You now have time to read the assignment. One.
I love eating foods from around the world, and I especially like trying out restaurants that serve new kinds of food. But the idea of eating food made from bugs and creepy crawlies doesn't appeal. The negative attitude to eating bugs is a long-lasting attitude that is difficult to change.
Two.
Food made from bugs, which is a growing trend in the Western world. Insects are an alternative source of food, and experts say they're filled with lots of good nutrients, including amino acids and protein, and eating them could help to fight world hunger and reduce pollution.
3.
To actually get someone to put it in your mouth, the easiest way we find straight away is to try maybe a cricket cookie or a chocolate chip cricket cookie, where we're using cricket powder. So you don't actually see any insects whatsoever. You're getting the idea that you're eating them, so people can deal with that a bit more than actually seeing the whole insect.
4.
We approach our work with openness, with understanding and inclusivity. When people approach me and they go like, ew, I don't get confrontational. I go like, I understand that you can feel that way. And what we need to do is start changing these perceptions from insects as being a pest that bites you to edible insects.
Now listen to the recording again. 1.
I love eating foods from around the world, and I especially like trying out restaurants that serve new kinds of food. But the idea of eating food made from bugs and creepy crawlies doesn't appeal. The negative attitude to eating bugs is a long-lasting attitude that is difficult to change.
2.
Food made from bugs, which is a growing trend in the Western world. Insects are an alternative source of food, and experts say they're filled with lots of good nutrients, including amino acids and protein, and eating them could help to fight world hunger and reduce pollution.
3.
To actually get someone to put it in your mouth, the easiest way we find straight away is to try maybe a cricket cookie or a chocolate chip cricket cookie, where we're using cricket powder. So you don't actually see any insects whatsoever. You're getting the idea that you're eating them. So people can deal with that a bit more than actually seeing the whole insect.
4.
We approach our work with openness, with understanding and inclusivity. When people approach me and they go like, ew, I don't get confrontational. I go like, I understand that you can feel that way. And what we need to do is start changing these perceptions from insects as being a pest that bites you to edible insects.
Task 2. You now have time to read the assignment.
This weekend's bomb cyclone in New England was just the latest storm to leave many thousands without power. In fact, there's now a boom in Americans installing home generators to prepare for more climate-driven extreme weather outages. NPR's Jeff Brady reports.
Outside Christopher Glenn's Oregon house, next to the garage, is a home standby generator installed after an experience in 2019.
We had a major snowstorm that brought about 3 feet of snow to our backyard, and we were without electricity for approximately a week.
Glenn's spouse works remotely, and without electricity, he couldn't work. They also have an organic tea business that was shut down during the outage.
A customer in Ohio or Florida or Texas, they don't care if we're with or without power out here in Oregon. They want to know why we're not responding.
Beyond snowstorms, Glenn also is concerned about wildfire season. Like in California, Oregon utilities sometimes turn off electricity so power lines don't spark fires. Glenn says the next time the power goes out, this big white box next to his garage will keep the lights on. The generator powers the entire house, the business, and charges an electric car. And the cost? $9,000, including installation. Despite that, the home generator business is booming. One manufacturer, Generac Power Systems, had a 50% jump in revenue last year, according to President and CEO Aaron Jagfeld.
Our typical homeowner would live in a single-family, unattached house, probably lives a little bit more suburban than urban, right? So this is not a product that would be for if you live in a condominium or an apartment.
These large home standby generators typically burn natural gas or propane. Paul Hope with Consumer Reports says because they're expensive, they account for only about 5% of the generator market.
The vast majority of generators run on gasoline and are different sizes of portable generators.
These cost as little as a few hundred dollars. You'll have to choose what gets powered during an outage. You can connect a generator directly to your circuit breaker box to power your house. That requires an electrician. Without that, you have to run extension cords from the generator to individual appliances. Safety is a big issue. The Consumer Product Safety Commission estimates about 70 people die each year from carbon monoxide poisoning from portable generators. The agency says the machine must be at least 20 feet from a house. But that can be a problem for some people, says Hope.
Maybe they don't have 5 or 6 heavy-duty outdoor-rated extension cords to run, you know, from a generator that's at least 20 feet from the house. So they naturally try to bring it a little bit closer, plug some things directly into the generator, and, you know, use fewer cords that way.
But that risks carbon monoxide poisoning. Most new generators have automatic shutoffs if carbon monoxide levels get too high. Finally, Hope says you also should consider the climate change consequences of backing up your power this way.
The sort of tragic irony of generators is they're actually horrible fossil fuel burning polluters.
So they contribute to the same climate change that's producing more severe weather and outages. A cleaner but more expensive option is installing solar panels and batteries. Those will keep the power on like a generator, but only as long as there's enough sun to charge the batteries. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
Now listen to the recording again.
This weekend's bomb cyclone in New England was just the latest storm to leave many thousands without power. In fact, there's now a boom in Americans installing home generators to prepare for more climate-driven extreme weather outages. NPR's Jeff Brady reports.
Outside Christopher Glenn's Oregon house, next to the garage, is a home standby generator installed after an experience in 2019.
We had a major snowstorm that brought about 3 feet of snow to our backyard, and we were without electricity for approximately a week.
Glenn's spouse works remotely, and without electricity, he couldn't work. They also have an organic tea business that was shut down during the outage.
A customer in Ohio or Florida or Texas, they don't care if we're with or without power out here in Oregon. They want to know why we're not responding.
Beyond snowstorms, Glenn also is concerned about wildfire season. Like in California, Oregon utilities sometimes turn off electricity so power lines don't spark fires. Glenn says the next time the power goes out, this big white box next to his garage will keep the lights on. The generator powers the entire house, the business, and charges an electric car. And the cost? $9,000, including installation. Despite that, the home generator business is booming. One manufacturer, Generac Power Systems, had a 50% jump in revenue last year, according to President and CEO Aaron Jagfeld.
Our typical homeowner would live in a single-family, unattached house, probably lives a little bit more suburban than urban, right? So this is not a product that would be for if you live in a condominium or an apartment.
These large home standby generators typically burn natural gas or propane. Paul Hope with Consumer Reports says because they're expensive, they account for only about 5% of the generator market.
The vast majority of generators run on gasoline and are different sizes of portable generators.
These cost as little as a few $100s. You'll have to choose what gets powered during an outage. You can connect a generator directly to your circuit breaker box to power your house. That requires an electrician. Without that, you have to run extension cords from the generator to individual appliances. Safety is a big issue. The Consumer Product Safety Commission estimates about 70 people die each year from carbon monoxide poisoning from portable generators. The agency says the machine must be at least 20 feet from a house. But that can be a problem for some people, says Hope.
Maybe they don't have 5 or 6 heavy-duty outdoor-rated extension cords to run, you know, from a generator that's at least 20 feet from the house. So they naturally try to bring it a little bit closer, plug some things directly into the generator, and, you know, use fewer cords that way.
But that risks carbon monoxide poisoning. Most new generators have automatic shutoffs if carbon monoxide levels get too high. Finally, Hope says you also should consider the climate change consequences of backing up your power this way.
The sort of tragic irony of generators is they're actually horrible fossil fuel burning polluters.
So they contribute to the same climate change that's producing more severe weather and outages. A cleaner but more expensive option is installing solar panels and batteries. Those will keep the power on like a generator, but only as long as there's enough sun to charge the batteries. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
Task 3. You now have time to read the assignment.
Hi, everybody. I couldn't be prouder of all of you in the graduating class of 2020, as well as the teachers and the coaches, and most of all, parents and family who guided you along the way. Now, graduating is a big achievement under any circumstances. Some of you have had to overcome serious obstacles along the way, whether it was an illness, or a parent losing a job, or living in a neighborhood where people too often count you out. Along with the usual challenges of growing up, all of you have had to deal with the added pressures of social media, reports of school shootings, and the specter of climate change. And then, just as you're about to celebrate having made it through, just as you've been looking forward to proms and senior nights, graduation ceremonies, and let's face it, a whole bunch of parties, the world is turned upside down by a global pandemic. Now, I'll be honest with you. The disappointments of missing a live graduation, those will pass pretty quick. I don't remember much of my own high school graduation. I know that not having to sit there and listen to a commencement speaker isn't all that bad. Mine usually go on way too long. Also, not that many people look great in those caps, especially if you have big ears like me. And you'll have plenty of time to catch up with your friends once the immediate public health crisis is over. But what remains true is that your graduation marks your passage into adulthood, the time when you begin to take charge of your own life. It's when you get to decide what's important to you, the kind of career you want to pursue, who you want to build a family with, the values you want to live by. And given the current state of the world, that may be kind of scary. All of which means that you're going to have to grow up faster than some generations. This pandemic has shaken up the status quo and laid bare a lot of our country's deep-seated problems, from massive economic inequality to ongoing racial disparities to a lack of basic health care for people who need it. That realization may be kind of intimidating, but I hope it's also inspiring. With all the challenges this country faces right now, nobody can tell you, no, you're too young to understand, or this is how it's always been done. Because with so much uncertainty, with everything suddenly up for grabs, this is your generation's world to shape. Since I'm one of the old guys, I won't tell you what to do with this power that rests in your hands, but I'll leave you with three quick pieces of advice. First, don't be afraid. America's gone through tough times before, and each time we came out stronger, usually because a new generation, young people like you, learned from past mistakes and figured out how to make things better. Second, do what you think is right. But if you listen to the truth that's inside yourself, even when it's hard, even when it's inconvenient, people will notice. They'll gravitate towards you, and you'll be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And finally, build a community. No one does big things by themselves. If we're going to get through these difficult times, then we're going to have to do it together. The truth is, you don't need us to tell you what to do, because in so many ways, you've already started to lead. Congratulations, class of 2020. Keep making us proud.
Now listen to the recording again.
Hi, everybody. I couldn't be prouder of all of you in the graduating class of 2020, as well as the teachers and the coaches, and most of all, parents and family who guided you along the way. Now, graduating is a big achievement under any circumstances. Some of you have had to overcome serious obstacles along the way, whether it was an illness, or a parent losing a job, or living in a neighborhood where people too often count you out. Along with the usual challenges of growing up, all of you have had to deal with the added pressures of social media, reports of school shootings, and the specter of climate change. And then, just as you're about to celebrate having made it through, just as you've been looking forward to proms and senior nights, graduation ceremonies, and let's face it, a whole bunch of parties, the world is turned upside down by a global pandemic. Now, I'll be honest with you. The disappointments of missing a live graduation, those will pass pretty quick. I don't remember much of my own high school graduation. I know that not having to sit there and listen to a commencement speaker isn't all that bad. Mine usually go on way too long. Also, not that many people look great in those caps, especially if you have big ears like me. And you'll have plenty of time to catch up with your friends once the immediate public health crisis is over. But what remains true is that your graduation marks your passage into adulthood, the time when you begin to take charge of your own life. It's when you get to decide what's important to you, the kind of career you want to pursue, who you want to build a family with, the values you want to live by. And given the current state of the world, that may be kind of scary. All of which means that you're going to have to grow up faster than some generations. This pandemic has shaken up the status quo and laid bare a lot of our country's deep-seated problems, from massive economic inequality to ongoing racial disparities to a lack of basic health care for people who need it. That realization may be kind of intimidating, but I hope it's also inspiring. With all the challenges this country faces right now, nobody can tell you, no, you're too young to understand, or this is how it's always been done. Because with so much uncertainty, with everything suddenly up for grabs, this is your generation's world to shape. Since I'm one of the old guys, I won't tell you what to do with this power that rests in your hands, but I'll leave you with three quick pieces of advice. First, don't be afraid. America's gone through tough times before, and each time we came out stronger, usually because a new generation, young people like you, learned from past mistakes and figured out how to make things better. Second, do what you think is right. But if you listen to the truth that's inside yourself, even when it's hard, even when it's inconvenient, people will notice. They'll gravitate towards you, and you'll be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And finally, build a community. No one does big things by themselves. If we're going to get through these difficult times, then we're going to have to do it together. The truth is, you don't need us to tell you what to do, because in so many ways, you've already started to lead. Congratulations, class of 2020. Keep making us proud.
This is the end of your listening comprehension test.